Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. And while you're doing so, your pastor didn't know it, but he was giving the prelude to my message this morning. No, it's good. It's called a confirmation. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Let's start at verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask now your help to illuminate our minds and understanding, to help understand your word, so you live it, Lord God, to the pleasing of your soul. Amen. Here in Matthew 5:31, there's no question of what I'm going to be dealing with this morning, because the Bible here in these few verses is quite plain and quite simple. And this morning we're going to deal with, what is adultery? Just what is adultery? And we need to find out what adultery is so we don't ever get involved in adultery. I would have to say, yes, everybody here would agree that adulterers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, adulterers are not saved. And anybody in adultery is not saved. And so this morning, we want to find out, first of all, the definition of the word adultery. I find four definitions of adultery in the Bible. First, in Matthew 5:27 and 28, don't turn there, but talking about lusting after somebody in your heart through your eyeballs is called adultery. All right, that's one definition for adultery. Another definition for adultery would be having an extramarital affair, as our beloved president has so often done. And so we have that definition of adultery. All right. Third definition of adultery, your pastor already quoted from James 4:4, being friends with the world, being adulterers and adulteresses spiritually in our hearts, and having spiritual adultery against God. In other words, holding something else in the world higher in our heart than God. And here we find in Matthew 5:31-32, the fourth definition of adultery in the Bible. It's called being divorced and then being married to somebody who either they or yourself has a prior living spouse from the previous marriage. That is called adultery. Here is Jesus Christ said, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now, first of all, where did he get that from? Did he make that one up? Was he some radical revolutionary like some people think he was? And he taught a brand new gospel, brand new doctrine than Moses ever thought of? No. He was quoting exactly from Moses. And we'll see a little bit later on where that was in the five books of Moses. And so it talks about the writing of divorcement. Notice, it's a legal contract. God is all for legal contracts to bind us legally to be responsible for our vows and our oaths, especially in the realms of marriage. And so, he said, but I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Now here, Christ gives us the one condition that divorce was allowed for, and that was for fornication. Now what does that word fornication mean? What is divorce allowed for? Fornication. It does not say except for the cause of adultery, causes her to commit adultery. It says except for the cause of fornication. There's the word fornication there, and it's separate and distinct from the word adultery. Good to see the Thompsons coming in this morning. And so, we're on Matthew 5:31. I've just had it turned over to me here. So we're starting a little bit late, so they just didn't miss much, did they? Amen. And And so, yeah, he's never heard it. For me, anyway. And so, we find here that Jesus Christ tells us there's only one condition for divorce, and that is for fornication. Fornication is prior to marriage. Fornication happened before somebody got married. We're going to find that here a little bit later. Now, your liberals use this word fornication to include all various types of sexual immorality, and they lump it in there, and they make divorce allowable for anything you want to say just about these days. But we're going to find out that the word fornication has a definition and means something specifically. Causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Marrying somebody who is divorced, and we'll find out later on in the scriptures, this is qualified as that person you're marrying has a former living spouse. Shall cleave to his wife, and they claim to be one flesh. First of all, what does Christ do? He ignores the question, goes deeper and back further than the question, and goes back to the original intent, original design by God Almighty, which was one man, one woman, till death do them part, and maybe a male and female, and they should cleave the father and mother, and cleave to the wife, and the two become one. He goes back to the original design that God originally did not even want divorce to take place in the human race, and that was not God's intent. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. Well, therefore, God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So he's saying, hey, hands off, men. If God's joined these two, don't any man interfere, and don't put it asunder. God has blessed it. God has sanctioned it. That was God's original intent, to have two become one for life. They say unto him, now they understood his question so well. His original answer, I should say, they understood so well the answer of Jesus Christ. When they heard it with their own ears, from his own mouth, they understood Christ's first unqualified answer to give no account, no allowance for divorce whatsoever. And so they followed the questions up. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? They thought they had Jesus Christ trapped in the corner now because his first answer allowed for no divorce whatsoever. And they said, hey, why did Moses allow it then? Are you going against Moses? Are you going against the law of God? I can just read their minds here. And he said unto them, saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Now Christ brings in the second element of divorce, hardness of hearts, which would be unforgiveness, bitterness, and just plain old hard heart. So he brings in the hardness of heart aspect of divorce, and every divorce always has the hardness of heart element in it, an unforgiveness and bitterness. And so, in other words, if you have forgiveness in your marriage and in your heart, you would never see a need for a divorce court. I've only been married for 9.5 years, but I wasn't married too long before I realized if there's not forgiveness in our hearts with one another and in our home and our household, we'll never, never make it. And so it takes forgiveness and love and understanding to keep two together. So every divorce has hardness of heart. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away, doth commit adultery. Here Christ covers both aspects. Both individuals who are divorced, as a former living spouse, as we'll see later on, if they get married or marry somebody else with a former living spouse, they are committing adultery. And we know no adulterer shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so we find there are two causes, two elements of divorce. There is the hardness of heart aspect and the fornication aspect, which again is premarital before marriage, and must exist for the divorce to be even justified in the first place. Now, Christ's teaching here was so plain. It was so clear. So understood. That the disciples who were also in the crowd, not only the Pharisees who were in the crowd listening to Christ, understood what he said and asked questions on what he said. Well, his own disciples in verse 10 heard what he said, and they came back with this conclusion. They had a conclusion just for what Christ said. His disciples saying to him, if the case of a man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Hey. The disciples concluded, if the case is what Christ just said, if what Jesus just said is true, it's better not to ever get married than to get married, end up in the web of adultery, and end up going to hell. Because they knew no adulterer was going to heaven. They knew it was so tight, it's better to stay single than to be an adulterer. They knew it was better to never, ever get married and get in this web and this trap. Now, this is the impression the disciples got from Christ's teaching on adultery. Let me ask you, turn on your radios, TVs, if you have them, or you shouldn't, but listen to the adultery preaching on the radios and TVs and of our preachers in this country on the big popular airwaves. Is that the impression you get when you hear them preach on it? That if the case be so to a man and his wife, it is good not to marry. In other words, it's better to stay single than be caught up in adultery. No, that's not the impression you get in this land today from the preaching. Well, if you ever do hear preaching on it, most times it's not even mentioned or touched, or if it is, it's skimmed over lightly and is justified and everything is allowed just about these days. But the disciples heard from Christ's own mouth and they concluded, hey, it's so tight, shot, it's better to stay single than to get in that mess. Now, where was Christ getting this from? Was he dreaming it up? Did he make it off the top of his head? No. Reiterating what Moses already stated back in Deuteronomy 24. Of the doctrine of the when the Pharisees asked Jesus
divorcement. Here is the doctrine. Deuteronomy.
Man has taken a wife. Finds no favor because of uncleanness. We're going to find out that it is spiritual uncleanness and moral uncleanness. Let him give her, write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. See right there, Brother Jim, I can get remarried. The Bible says I may go out of my first husband's house and become another man's wife. Right there. It says it right there, Brother Jim. See, right there. All right. Let's look at the word may. The word may is used at least two ways I know of. It's either a permissive may, like yes, you may go to the restroom. You have my permission to do so. Or yes, you may go to Walmart. Or it's a happen chance may. Like it may happen, I walk out the door this afternoon, after service, on the way to my truck, I may fall over, break my neck, and end up in the hospital. It may happen. It'll happen, chance. It may happen, right? So the word may here means one of those two, at least. Well, let's find out. If God gives us permission to do something, what happens as a result of us obeying what he says to do? Blessings, right? We are holy and blessed. But if we do something God's not permitted to allow us to do, we get cursed and become defiled, right? All right, let's go on. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and giveth it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, her first husband, which sent her away may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Here we find she divorced, becomes another man's wife, and her second husband is now dead or divorced from. She wants to go back to her first husband to be reconciled. And what does God say she can or cannot do? She can't go back to her first husband because she has been defiled by marrying two men at one time. By being the wife of two husbands that simultaneously at one time, she has become defiled to where she cannot even go back to her first husband to be reconciled. Now let me ask you, that word may there, was it God's permission? Did God allow this woman to defile herself? Does God ever allow anybody to defile themselves? No. Does God ever allow anybody to commit abominations? No. So obviously it was a happenstance. They've given us a case scenario here of what this woman might do after her divorce. What the consequences that follow is that she is defiled and therefore cannot be reconciled to her first husband. And so we find here what Moses taught in a nutshell. But now we still have not found out what that uncleanness was that caused the husband to have no favor in his eyes towards his wife. We need to find it out. Now remember, Christ said it was for fornication and hardness of heart. Turn back to Deuteronomy 22, verse 13. If any man take a wife, notice here again, they are married. Their husband and wife, the two have become one flesh. And go in unto her and hate her. Oh, the word hatred's cropped up here. As in Deuteronomy 24, it says, find no favor in her eyes. There's your hardness of heart. Hatred is hardness of heart. Anybody disagree? I don't think so. And hatred is from a lack of forgiveness towards your spouse. If you love your spouse, forgive your spouse, you'll never hate your spouse. So he's taking a wife and goes in unto her and hates her. Now, wait a minute. That's strange. How many of we married men on our honeymoon week hated our wives? I haven't met too many. No, not too many men marry a woman they hate. I didn't. I married a woman I loved so much I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. No, haven't ever gotten to the point of hatred. Nope, never have. But you know what? This man, something happened drastically to change his love for his wife to marry her into hatred. Something drastically, some revelation, some new knowledge, something happened. What was it? And give occasion to speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her. Now he's even talking about her, bringing up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. There's the accusation of there's the accusation that Christ laid as the foundation for divorce. There's the newlywed wife of not being a maid of four. And there shall the father of the damsel and the mother take the and bring the damsel's virginity and unto the elders of the city. The damsel's father shall say unto the elders. Now, here a legal accusation. This cloth. My. Only way they could have done it was for the daughter, as was accustomed to do, to take the cloth and take it to their parents' house and say, hey, keep this in safe storage. This is the evidence that I'm a maid. Here's the proof I'm a maid here. And keep it. I may need it. Just keep it. That's the only way they could have got it. And so we find here, they spread the cloth before the elders. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. In other words, the woman proved that she was a maid. She proved she not had, she had not committed fornication, which is the only reason for divorce in the first place. And what happens now? The man gets in trouble. He gets chastised, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give unto the father the damsel, because he has brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. Notice, she's been proven now to be a virgin of Israel. She has not committed fornication. Now look at the next phrase. This is very, very peculiar here. And she shall be his wife. He may not put her away. Grounds to ever put her away, ever divorce her. Why? Divorce is only for fornication. Divorce is only for fornication, and then only if you have a hard heart towards your wife, who may have lied to you or deceived you into thinking that she was a maid when you found out that she wasn't. You do not even have to get a divorce for fornication if you do not want to. There wasn't any grounds, but that was the only exception. He cannot put her away all his days. Now, I would not want to start out marriage like that, Brother Mike. On my honeymoon week, bring up an accusation like this against my newlywed wife, have her in open shame in front of the whole camp of Israel, have the elders out there, her parents. Now, you marry not only a woman, but her family, and not only a man, but his family. And I wouldn't want to start a marriage out like this, bringing up an evil name upon this newlywed wife of mine, and having to live with that the rest of my life under one roof. That would not be a happy marriage way to start off, would it? And so, even if this woman now in turn spitefully hates him, mistreats him, runs off, commits adultery against everybody in the whole world, today she might become a dyke on bike, a lesbian or something like that, and just goes wild, he has no grounds to divorce her. No matter what she does. No matter what she does. To spite him back for starting this marriage off like that. My. Why? Divorce is only for fornication. That is why Joseph, being a just man, thought it privily to put away his spouse, wife, Mary. Because she was found with child, the Bible says. And therefore, he is thinking, hey, this woman has committed fornication against me. She is not a maid. Therefore, I am a just man. I'll put her away, not publicly like this in Deuteronomy 22, and have a public demonstration. I'll just put her away privately. And he had every right to do so. And yes, it took an angel of God to convince me that my wife has been conceived of the Holy Ghost. It just doesn't happen every day, does it? And so, it takes God and the angel to tell me and convince me too. And so we find that Joseph was about ready to do this. He's going to act on Deuteronomy. Well, now, wait a minute. If the thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, in other words, if she's lied to this man, deceived this man, now, all she had to do was come up front and come forward before marriage and tell the man of her state. But obviously, she lied, deceived her fiancé, and he found out and was infuriated by this woman deceiving her, deceiving him. And they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her stone her stones that she die, because she has brought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. Divorce was no light thing like it is today. Divorce meant it cost the girl her life. That's why Joseph did not want to marry a private issue, a public issue, I mean, and have her stoned and have her judgment placed upon her. He was going to do it privately. So she wouldn't lose her life. Or just get her aside. Just put her away. So here divorce meant one thing. Death. And after a woman's dead, the man was free to remarry whoever he wanted to marry. So he's dead now. You never got divorce in the Bible. You find one divorce from Genesis to Revelation for adultery. time. You never divorce them. What do you do with adulterers? Verse 22. If a man be found lying with a woman, married, and shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. You capitally punish adulterers and adulteresses. If the adulterous spouse is dead, you're free to remarry. Living at one time. And your fornicating spouse. But allows for divorce and remarrying. Let's find out if Paul agrees with Christ and Moses. In other words, let's find out if God is consistent on this doctrine. That's what we're really asking. And I know that's almost blasphemous to ask God if he's consistent. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. For the woman which has an husband is bound by law to her husband, so long as he liveth. Now that sounds pretty plain, doesn't it? You're bound by law to your husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. What is she loose from? The law that bound her to her husband, her oath, her accountability. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man. Notice this. Her husband's living, but she's married to another man. In other words, she's got two living husbands. Some people say, well, that was my first marriage, and that was all before I got saved, and all before this and before that. And God doesn't recognize that marriage because all he sees now is my present marriage. Wait a minute. If while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. The Bible recognizes you can have more than one living husband, one spouse at a time. You can have as many as you marry. So, those Hollywood stars, like Elizabeth Taylor, she's got, who knows how, we've lost track, haven't we? And so she's got all those who are still living, they're all still her husbands, and she's still married to her man when her other husband's still alive. And so, that's why Christ said to the woman at the well, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you have said well. You have had five husbands. Now, does anybody want to stretch the point and say that this young woman, who is obviously young enough to still go to the well, gather water, bring it back, that she had outlived five previous husbands? Now, that's stretching it, but we can agree with that. No, okay, let's say you have. But he said, the one you have now is not your husband. In other words, you're presently with a man who's not your husband. So he showed her that she had five living, present husbands. Or maybe not. We might disagree on that. But he did point out that she was an adulteress and presently shacking up the man. So we find here, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Adulteress, if you're married to somebody else, when your former spouse is alive. No adulteress, if your former spouse is dead and you're remarried. Quite plain, quite simple. You can't get any more plain in Romans 7 here on this doctrine of marriage and divorce. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Every liberal's favorite chapter to go to, with no understanding of the Bible and its doctrine on this subject. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Now there's the standard. No divorce. Don't depart. But if she departs, here's the exception. Let her remain unmarried. There's option number one if we are departed or divorced. Remain unmarried. Or be reconciled to her husband. Option number two, reconciliation. And let not the husband put away his wife.
I don't see option number three, do you?
I only see two options.
To be reconciled or to remain unmarried. But to the rest, speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. If you're a believer, a Christian, and your spouse doesn't believe, you have no authority, no right to put away your spouse on the grounds that they're not saved, or that they don't believe. But and the woman which hath a husband which believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. In other words, you cannot make somebody live with you in the same house. You cannot make somebody stay married to you if they want out. So, if they want to leave, now notice who does the leaving here. The unbelieving does the leaving, not the Christian. The unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Now, under bondage in what? Well, Paul told us in Romans 7, we're not under bondage under law of the commitment of our marriage contract, of our marriage contract. From that, Paul said in Romans 7, if you're dead. But now, if the unbelieving depart, now for the divorce. Well, you have two options. Stay unmarried, or be reconciled. And so, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man? In conclusion here, in verse 39 of Romans 7, wife is bound by law as long as her husband liveth. Sounds just like Paul in Romans 7, doesn't it? But if her husband has liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Our four definitions we start with.